John's Sunday today, and we're going to talk about evangelism, the missions. You know, we hear a lot of sermon on preaching the gospel, missions, and all that. I don't know if you've been a Christian for a while, you would have heard a lot of teaching, a lot of admonitions, a lot of preaching on preaching the gospel. But I would want to say that each time we hear about that, we applaud and clap and agree that it is true. But when it comes to doing, many fall by the wayside. It is one thing we applaud. Kenyon, KW Kenyon, you say Christians talk about things they are not prepared to do. It's one thing we all applaud. There are seminars. There are all manner of conferences, all manner of big talking. People fly thousands of miles, talk about, preach the gospel. I've attended one in Texas where thousands of people. But it's something that Christians don't do. We need to be real. Something that many people don't do. Even one time, I was telling, I said, many of you that go on mission trip, do you even preach when you come home? Or is it only going to flying out to go? When you come home, do you really preach? Do you really preach where you live? Do you really preach where you go to work? Do you really preach where you live? Or is it only when you go on missions that you preach? I don't think anybody should go to missions who doesn't preach where he lives. Because charity begins what? That's why they have a lot of people who are all over the world. They say we're on missions. One pastor told me, he said, one came, didn't know what he was talking. I said, he has never preached before. He has never preached before. I once told him in a missions conference, all this money people spend. So half of you go on vacation. One was scheduled to preach in Lagos. They didn't find her. She was busy buying souvenirs. I can tell a lot of stories about all this stuff. So, it's an, missions, everybody gets religious. There are a couple of things that bring out the religion in Christians. Missions is one of them. Once talk of missions, religion comes out. But when it comes to doing, not many people do that. Even in this church, I don't know how many of us from January to December ever talked to somebody about Jesus. January to December, ever spoke to somebody about Jesus. And a couple of reasons why these things happen. Number one reason is not really believing the Bible. Not really believing what? The Bible. If you believe the Bible, that there is hell, like they showed us on Thursday, that young man was saying, if these Christians really believe this thing, why are they not talking about it? If we really believe the Bible that there is hell, our attitude to evangelism will change. Have you ever walked into a friend's house and your friend is sick and there's nobody home? Do you walk away? I'm asking a simple question. Do you what? Walk away. What do? You arrange the help that they need. Because you know that except you arrange that help, your friend might die. If you have a child who is sick, do you walk away? Don't you arrange for help? If you have, there was one time in Newark, there was this bridge that was taken out. They didn't know that the bridge had fallen off. And then an ambulance was racing with sick people and fell right through that thing. And everybody died, driver and the patient. If you were there and you knew that bridge was off and you saw them racing there, will you keep quiet? Why do we keep quiet when people are racing to hell? Why is it not important? My cousin, James, is a reverend now. My wife will tell you, that boy was on his knees until I gave my life to Christ. He refused to stop, that I would never go to hell. And when I gave my life to Christ and I told him, he hugged me, said, I will take you off my list now. And he was the person I was abusing nonstop. I told him, you have no ambition. That's why you're carrying that Bible. I said, if you have work, you will be the other thing you are doing. And the more I would abuse him, the more he would smile. Never frowned one day. Never. I didn't know the man was holding God on me. See, this man is not going to hell. It's my brother. I won't let him go. Julie was doing the same about the late brother. They were praying that this boy would never go to hell. And shortly before he died, he called him. He said, I want to give my life to Christ. And a few weeks after that, he passed away. You think we believe the Bible? You think we believe the Bible? Let me show you what the Bible says. Jude chapter 1, verse 23. Jude 1, 23. It says, strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. Snatching them out of what? The fire. On others, take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garments spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. He said, people, pull them out of fire. Pull them out of what? Fire. How can you be in a house? I remember my neighbor's house caught fire once. They were yelling at us to get out. How can you see fire and it's burning and you walk past? Is that you didn't see it or you don't believe it's fire? There's something the devil has sold to the church. And I want you to listen to me. This is one reason people don't receive miracles. This is one reason prayers are not answered. This is one reason we become nominal Pentecostal. You know, there is nominal Pentecostal who has settled into the mood of church, home, nothingness. It's church, home, nothingness. The devil has sold to the church this idea of simply accenting to the word of God and saying it is true. And once you say it is true, he settles you down there. And you think you've achieved much. I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous place to stay. He's giving us mentally to say, yeah, it's true. So when you read the Bible, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah! It's a dangerous thing the devil is doing. Do you believe that Jesus heals? Yes! How many of you believe in hell? I'm one of them. He makes you comfortable so your conscience won't bother you. It's a dangerous place. Because that's not even believing God, really. That's not believing God, really. He makes you settle there. And you don't think further. A lot of times, Christians are looking for anointing, looking for power, looking for this. It's a joke. It's a real joke. Real joke. Because what connects you and the power of God is your faith. And James talks about it. James talks about it in James chapter 2, verse 19. James says, you say you have faith. Yep. He said, you say you believe? You believe in Jesus? Yeah. Say you say so, yeah. You have faith. For you believe that there is one God. He said, good for you. He said, so you think that's all? He said, good for you. Even the demons believe too. So it doesn't make any difference yet. And they tremble in terror. Verse 20. How foolish. Can't you see? That faith without good deeds is what? You say, I believe it's not enough. That's what he's saying. Say good for you. He said, even demons also say we believe. You doubt it, go to many churches, demons pray too. It was Jesus that said that hypocrites like to pray too. So James is saying that idea of assenting and saying, yeah, I believe, he says it's not good enough. He says it's not good enough. So mental assent is saying, I believe that this is true, but I won't act on it. I believe that this is true, but what? I won't act on it. And it is that acting that is faith. It is faith that makes you do stuff. Let me say it again. It is faith that makes you what? Do stuff. So James is saying, you say you believe. You read the Bible. Yeah. You believe in Jesus. Yeah. It's a good for you now. He said, but what is the corresponding action? There is fire, 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 fire. The only way I can know you know there's fire is what you are doing. If you are sleeping there and staying there, it's either you don't know it's fire, there's fire, or you lost your mind. The Bible said that faith without works is what? It's dead. And so I know that God heals is not enough. I know you prayed, I've been healed, it's not even enough. The thing that proves that you really believe it is what you do after that. And that's the critical thing. Words without action is vain, useless. I love you. You can sing it from morning till Monday. If I don't see the action, your love is 419. Women, praise the Lord. Don't remember my bad day. Wouldn't do anything. Say love. No, if you love me, you'll be thinking ahead before my bad day comes because you have me in your mind. Faith is of the heart. If you really believe in something, you are convinced about a reality, it will make you do something that corresponds to that thing you believe. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Faith gives sight to the unseen. You see this, my brother here. Let me assume that I don't see him. Right? I don't see him. If I don't see him, I can come and be sitting here. Because I don't see him. But you see him and you're wondering, why is he sitting here? The reason I'm sitting here is because I don't know he is there. Faith makes you, church, look at me, let me tell you something. Faith makes you see what is unseen. That thing becomes real to you. And because it becomes real to you, you start responding to it as something that is real. If you can't see our brother here and I see him, what all my actions will show you that there's somebody here. But if I come to be sitting here, you're wondering, is he not seeing him? Why is he doing like that? My action is showing you I don't see him. Faith is not something that is abstract. Faith is a reality. That's why I call it a substance. It's an evidence that what is unseen, you are what? Seeing it. And the Bible says, God says, when you come to me, you must believe that I exist. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Many people sitting in pews in churches don't believe the Bible. They don't even believe that Jesus is real. They don't even believe that God is real. If you ever come to believe that God is real, the way you come to church will change immediately. Immediately. I'm telling you, it will change immediately. Because your response to his presence, your actions will show that you know that God is there. You know what Peter asked this man that came with the wife and told the lie in church? And asked him, he said, don't you people know that the Holy Spirit is what? Is here. He said, you think you talk to Peter? He said, no. There is somebody. The reason Ananias and Sapphira were doing what they were doing is because they didn't know that God is real. They thought that we were going to church, like many of you think we are going to church. Going to church. Let me tell you a story. I used to have a friend. He's late now. Dr. Babaji Bosu. And we used to preach to him. Then he decided to pack out of the compound because of my harassing him. He called it harassing. So he really left. He was planning to leave Queen's College to find accommodation outside because he didn't want to hear this Jesus thing. He was a rich doctor, joined the Quay Club. So one day he went to swim and his heart went haywire. His heart began to beat all different ways and he had tachycardia. What's tachycardia? Eh? Yeah. Then he has angina. What's angina? Angina pectoris. Chest pain. I'm a pharmacist, so sometimes please allow me to be a pharmacist. I'm a pharmacist. I mean, that's what I read. So his friends got together, carried him from Ikoyi Club straight to Chisholm Hospital. Because all his friends were the doctors. Now they were graduates. They were practicing together. They brought him in there. And they were trying to manage him. He just passed away. So they screened him off. And the wife was called. The wife came. And they say, you can't see him. He's gone. And then they all went out because they were classmates together. They were all heartbroken. Very young boy, his 30s. So they were all heartbroken. They all graduated from Ife, some Ibadan. They were all these young doctors. And they had a practice. So they were all heartbroken and crying. That Bosso is dead. Gone. This was Lagos University Teaching Hospital. So while they were now planning what to do, all of a sudden, somebody stood out at the ward and said, all of you give your life to Jesus. And they turned, it was Bosso. It was him. I'm telling you a real story. He was saying that you have to give your life to Jesus, all of you. And they turned, they said, ah, Boss, you got us worried. He said, got you worried. You're not even asking me why I'm able to stand there. He said, you're not asking me. And then I met him later on. The first thing he told me, he said, my brother, I'm now born again. And then he hugged me and began to cry. He said, you told me. You warned me. I was running away from you. He said, my God, I would have gone to hell. Then he told me what happened. He said, I had pain. That's all I remember. The pain and all, that's all I remember. The next time was I saw myself heading to hell. And I was shouting, God, give me a second chance. They want me. I don't want to go there. He said, please have mercy on me. He says, I was yelling at the top of my voice. And the next thing I had is, okay, I'll give you a second chance. I immediately, he said that I came to myself and got up, no pain, nothing, and I was able to come. And the reality of that experience convinced him that God is and that hell is real. The reaction to that was preaching the gospel. That's what it is. Exactly, that's what it is. You believe there's God. You believe there's God. Your attitude will change. You said Jesus is your Lord. I was saying it to you, not people. I said, church preach about sins, because the church is full of babies. It is babies. My little girl, my angel, my sweetheart, I love so much, who I refused for me to carry her, Akwabia, is the one you send somebody to watch all the time. Because it's a baby. But you don't send somebody to watch the father and say, please follow the father around. Why should you send somebody? Because he's a matured human being now. When you're a matured Christian, you don't need people preaching sin around you. You should be able to know what is right and wrong. You don't need anybody following you. If I come to your church, all you talk about is sin. Your church is a nursery. I won't be there. I want a mature church. Well, I eat bone. Can I hear amen? I leave your nursery. Okay, you're sitting here at our church. Why don't you go and join the day and be singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And they'll be giving you, say, this is your own. And they say, thank ma. Yeah. Because you know what they're telling them there is no more for you. You've grown. The sign of maturity is ability to find your way. Am I wrong here? Come on, I'm talking to you. Faith gives sight to the unseen. Faith makes you see the reality of the unseen. There's something that happened recently, and I was talking to Pastor. Pastor said something that blessed me, Pastor Victor. He said, Pastor, let's leave this with God. That's the language of people who know that God is real. I wasn't long in my office. I had a visitation that surprised me. The Lord just descended on me, and I was writing letters to my wife. And I wrote letters to Pastor. And I said, yeah, we should be under the lordship of Jesus. Because Jesus is real. He's what? He's real. He's real. We have to be under his lordship. All the time. It's not a question of position or title, is under whose lordship are you working? If you are matured, that's the kind of thing matured people do. They are able to figure out, is this the lordship of Jesus? And if it's not, at all costs, you'll be under his lordship. You don't need people pushing you to do that. Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 11, 13. I don't have to, okay, time. Hebrews 11, 13 to 15. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them. Having what? Seen them, church. Having what? Seen them afar off, and were persuaded, because they saw it, they were persuaded that this is real. They were persuaded, and they were prepared to suffer anything because they know that this promise is real. They saw it first, they were persuaded about it, seen it, persuaded, and embraced them and confessed them. When you see healing, you know you are healed. You don't need to ask, am I? You don't have to. In fact, all the pain and things don't mean more to you because you know you are. You embrace it because you've seen it. You know you are. That's what faith is. Faith is not I'm healed, and then your action don't show nothing. Look, when people pray with you, it's easy to know who got it and who did it. Because once you get it, you look at the face, it shines. You see joy. The face changes. Excitement comes. I got it. But those who didn't get it, their face is still like they drank quinine. Continue, I'm not done. What verse? Verse what? 14. 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. He said the reason people backslide is they're thinking of the natural world from where they were delivered. Thinking of things in the natural sense. If they're thinking of that place where they came from, if your mind is on the natural things from where God delivered you and put you to begin to live a spiritual life, say you are going to be going back there. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so it's going to be. That's why the Bible says, let your affection be on things on high. Leave this world alone. And it's because we think of the things where we came from. That's why we fight. That's why we quarrel. That's why we cheat. That's why we tell lies. That's why we think of our ego. That's why we think all these things is from there. It's coming from there. 15. You took away 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned there. That's how people returned it. Because where God has put them, the reality of the kingdom of God, the country that built not by man, but by God, is not real to them. So they think it's only in this world. The Bible says, if it's only in this world, we have hope. We are for men, Muslims. So you're telling them things of heaven that's higher than things of this earth. They're struggling because they don't know it. They don't see it. There's no faith. So, mental accent is a good talker, but a poor doer. It's a good what? Talker. Because words are cheap. But when it comes to doing, he's not there because he doesn't believe it. Faith is proved by action. And God will see your faith. Amen? Look at Hebrews 11, 7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Never happened before. Has never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world. He showed I'm different. To condemn means I'm totally different from you people. You don't believe in God. I do. That's what it means. That by his faith, he condemned them. That I believe God and you people don't. So I'm acting on what God says. So by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Now God is saying to us that Jesus is coming soon. Build an ark. Get into the Lord. Run into Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those that run into it are saved. Run into Jesus. Do you think that Noah, after he built the ark, did he go bring his brothers and sisters? Did he bring his family in there? Huh? He brought his immediate family in. Supposing he left them. Question is, who have you brought into the boat? Jesus is the boat. Paul warned them, he said, if you leave this boat, you die. He said, don't leave this boat at all. Don't you leave this boat. I don't care about that storm. But don't you leave this boat. If you leave this boat, you perish. That boat is Christ. Don't leave that boat. Who have you brought into the boat? If you really believe that a great flood is coming. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:31. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people of her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Here was God trying to destroy a whole city, and the prostitute heard about it and believed that destruction was coming and risked her life to hide these people that came to carry out what God told them. She risked her life because she believed that destruction is really coming. And because of that, God saved her. But you know, we're so cute that we can't preach the gospel. We can't risk it being insulted. We can't risk being, you know, your dignity being insulted. A prostitute risked her life. They were looking for those spies. And they would have killed her if they found those spies. And God saved them. What sacrifice, too, have we made if we know that destruction is coming? Do we even pray? My brother James prayed for me. He was on his knees praying that, God, I don't want my brother to go to. She was praying for the brother. She would call Cameroon, tell them my brother must not go to hell. Everybody was in prayer. She's here. Ask her. Because she believed there's hell. And this man that rejected Christ shortly before he died said, I want to receive Jesus now. And I heard that the day he was dying, he said, Lord, I'm ready to come home. That was his statement. Tell me why she should not rejoice. I told her, I said, rejoice, man. You are going to see him again. I said, unless we don't believe this Bible. Our problem is we don't believe the Bible. We carry the Bible, we read it, just throw it somewhere. The second issue that we don't preach the gospel is that we don't even know what the gospel is. Ignorance of the gospel. What is the gospel? People, we know, when I got saved, I had a lot of junk they called the gospel. It was when God began to teach me, I realized that, what? I remember one day I preached in a wedding, and many people came to give their life to Christ. And in honor and respect to the senior minister there, I turned the service over to him to lead them to Christ. He started doing deliverance. I didn't know how to go back and take the microphone from him because I was just a young pastor, and I needed to respect him. He was doing deliverance, asking the people who were born near the water, you know. My heart broke. This is a senior minister. There are many of you who don't know what to tell people. Say, believe in God. No, that's not salvation. People believe in God. In fact, most people say we believe in, including journalists, that write against Christ. You want to be in an aircraft and you hit serious turbulence. You see heathens pray. They pray. I told you, mental accent is what the devil gives to human beings. Say, we believe in God. So believe in God is not, you haven't told them anything. That's not what the Bible said to preach. What the Bible told us to tell people is that they have been reconciled to God. Come home. What did I say? Come home. God is holding nothing against you because the price for your sin has been paid. Come home. That's it. That's the gospel. He said God was in Christ, not in putting iniquity, but canceling them. Now we go to people and we tell them, confess your sin, which God said I have canceled. What nonsense is that? Why did we hear that kind of message? Who gave you that? And that's what they tell people to do, and they say they are born again, and they're not, because there's only one message that can save you, is the message of the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. The message of the gospel is to tell people God holds nothing against you. Why? The Jesus paid for it again. So God is demanding nothing from you. And God says, come back to me. I'm reconciled. We are no more enemies. Come. Please come back to me. He said, we are pleading with you. Come back. Come and be reconciled. God has canceled your sins. 2 Corinthians 5:18. He said, and all of this is a gift from God. He's saying that salvation is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. It is God that brought us back to himself. Did you see this, the past tense thing? He brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. Verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins. Church, stop preaching the devil's message. Is an accuser. When you preach these things, we preach, we cancel the cross, we make it nothing, we throw Jesus out. I say the cross means nothing. You got to repent, you got to change, you got to confess. Are you serious? God is holding nothing against him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him is all that God said, saved. When we hear, do you know there's a curse on people who preach wrong doctrine? Read your Bible. If every word of God is, if inspired by the Holy Spirit, read it there. It said the curse of God is on them. I'm not the one that wrote it, but it's right there. When I was preaching, something said to me, people struggle under that curse because they won't listen. Paul said, anybody that preaches any other gospel, he said, let him be what? And he said, I repeat it again. So it's an anathema. Don't toy with the message of the gospel. And don't toy with Jesus. You pay a great price for that. He said, it was better you were not born, that you made one of these things, these young people, your little ones who believe in me, to what? To derail. He said, better you were not born. You answer to me. Because you killed my children. You killed the souls I died for. If you don't know what to preach, shut up. Sit down. Instead of adding trouble to your life. All over the Bible, you see the Bible is saying the destruction of this people has come. The destruction of this such people is coming. These people that reject the grace of God, they say the grace is nonsense. He said, they're terrible people. The gospel is the gospel of grace. The Bible says, by grace you were saved, and not yourself. You had nothing to do with it. If the gospel has no grace in it, it's not the gospel. If there's no grace in it, then Jesus is not in it. Because what brings Jesus there is the grace of God that Jesus brings you. The grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation. It's an earned thing. It's a gift of God. Make it a gift. Don't make it a payment. Make it a what? Gift. That's what the Bible says. The gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. You don't pay for it. Jesus already took care of that. So the gospel is to say, come. Come. You come and accept Jesus as the one who paid for your sins. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. That's all you do. And then the benefit of that which he paid becomes yours. And the Bible says it's not by works. So no man can. You can't come to God and say, yeah, I got saved you. I made myself. You know, we tell people we got to repent. That what we have in mind is make yourself better. Change. Before the taxi man that took me, I said to him, you need to give your life to Christ. He said, I'm not qualified. I said, why? He said, they tell me I have to change. I have to repent and be better. So, and I'm committing sins today. So I'm waiting for the day I will be better. I said to him, I'm not better than you. And I'm a pastor. The man looked at me. He said, what did he say? I said, I'm not better than you. I said, I'm not sinless. I said, Jesus is looking for our type. It's for our type he came for, and I'm happy he came for me. I'm not a human being. And I said, he wants you the way you are. Just come. He said, really? I said, he said, pastor, I never had anybody tell me this all my life. He said, I dealt with pastors and churches. He said, nobody ever told me this. He said, so I can come. I said, right now, is there a taxi here? He said, then I'm ready. I said, sure, good. And then I said, you repeat after. He repeated after me, and I said, you're born again. Case closed. You that are asking people to be perfect before they come to Jesus, are you? My question to you now. Are you? So why are you demanding what you are not? That's demonic. It's hypocrisy. It's going to show off. Look at me, I'm better, I'm good now. So you change before you come. You still, even though you are in Christ, you are still growing now. Come on, church. Let's be real. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's why I was singing. It is the Lord's doing. It is my veil's in our sights. It is the Lord's doing. Glory to his name. Praise the Lord. So the gospel is about how God has reconciled us to himself. It says that Jesus came and broke the wall of partition. He brought peace. He removed the thing that was standing before us and God, and that is sin. He destroyed the power of Satan. He opened the door, the way to God. Say, I am now the way. You know what confuses people? It's because they read what Peter said. And then they think that Peter is talking about you have to repent first. Remember that the baptism of John the Baptist is not the same thing as the baptism of the New Testament. I hope you know that. John the Baptist was telling them to repent first, confess their sins before they were what? Baptized. Because the blood of Jesus has not been shed. The new way has not been provided. The Bible says God has provided us a new and living way through which we come now to God through faith in his blood. It has not been provided. And besides, both John the Baptist and all of them were not born again. Nobody was born again until Jesus died and rose. Because there was no new life available. All of them. That's why, read the book of Hebrew. It says the law could not make them perfect. It says, Hebrew chapter 11, it said, it's part of all this, their faith. It said they couldn't be perfect. God has something better that without us, they cannot be perfect. What is he talking? They cannot be perfect without the blood. They can't. He said, in spite of all the things they did, they were not perfect. He said, because God has something better in mind. That they can't be perfect without us, we of the New Testament. Because perfection is through the blood of Jesus. The Bible said the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. That's what did it. So when you come to Christ, he makes you a new creature. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's not a character issue. We think it's character issue. Come and be better. Come and manage it. That's not what it is. Brethren, it's not a character issue. It is the old nature that is sinful that God takes and crucifies on the cross and creates an entire new person. And he says, you are now born again. You have to be a new creature. You have to be born. You have to be born. You have to be born. It's not like I'm going, let me be better. Let me repent and confess. I'm better. Nonsense. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new creature. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's what it is. And so Peter said to them, let me show you what Peter was saying. Peter was telling them that you rejected Christ. He came his own to his own, and his own rejected him. So he was telling them. He said, you people killed him now. He said, you killed him now. He said, but he was the one that God chose. He said, you need to repent from rejecting him. and accept him. So the time of refreshing, a newness will come. A new life will come. A time of refreshing will come. I will send Christ into your life. It's not saying so Christ will come again. That's what he was saying. Let me even show you so that all this confusion will clear your mind. Look at Acts 4:10. Let me start from Acts 4:10. I go back to Acts 3 so you get it. But be it known unto you all, the Southern Americans will say, be it known unto you all. Y'all. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of what? Nazareth, whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. He said, you people killed him. God raised from the dead. Even by him does this man stand here before you who continue. This is the stone which was set at naught by you people builders. He said, you rejected him. You set him at naught. And you are building without him, which has become now the head of the corner. Which means if you remove him, nothing is happening. Neither is there salvation now in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see what Peter is talking about to them there? He's telling them that Jesus you put at naught. You rejected him, but now he's become the cornerstone of salvation. That without him there's no salvation. Praise the Lord. So he started that discourse in chapter 3. Let me read chapter 3, verse 13. Where he began to talk to them about how they rejected Christ. He even quoted the prophets to confirm that Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He said to them, 13, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So he's telling them, this is the God of your fathers now. The God of our fathers had glorified his son, Jesus, whom you delivered up. He's telling them, you are the ones that delivered him up. Are you? Come on. I'm not reading Amplified. Where is the Amplified coming from? I'm reading King James. I want it shortened. I don't have time. We are reading King James now, temporarily. All the King James people are laughing. They're happy. Put it up. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom you... You see, he's telling them what they continue, please, continue quickly. Up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Continue. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. 16. Oh, I'm going to be reading from here. Okay, let's go to 17. Jump to 17. 17. He says, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it. What did they do? They rejected Christ and crucified him. He said, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Then continue. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had now so fulfilled. He said, the prophets predicted these things. He said, now repent ye therefore. From what? From Christ that you rejected. You killed him. He said, the prophets said all these things will happen. We and our fathers, we killed him. We rejected him. So he's telling them, you have to repent therefore and be converted. So change your mind. Conversion means change your mind, change your thinking, that your sins may now be what? How is sin blotted away? Talk to me. By the blood. So he's inviting them to the Lord. He said, when you come, your sins are blotted away. When the times of refreshing, now you become a new creature. Refreshing, something new comes to you. Time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord now. Somebody shout hallelujah. Go down to verse 22. He said, 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, you see, he's trying to buttress the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, he's the one. Unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So, and he continued, and it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet will be destroyed. And it's true, because except a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And you know, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:16, warning people not to distort the message of the grace. Are you following what I'm saying? He's warning people. Look at it, 2 Peter 3:16. Speaking of these things in all his letters. So he's talking of Paul, who had the revelation of grace. So Paul was speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand. And those who are ignorant and unstable, that is people immature. Immature people are unstable. Twist his letters to mean something quite different. Just as they do with other parts of scripture. And this will result, what? In their destruction. It will take them away from the faith. They will believe what is not true. They will build on sand, not on Christ. Then continue. I'm warning you ahead of time, dear friends. Be. I want you to say it. Be. Come on, louder. Be. So that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people. And lose your own secure footing, standing on Christ. You can lose it. They say once saved, always saved. It's not true. You can lose your secure footing. You can begin to believe junk. You can begin to take your faith out of Jesus and destroy your life. He said you can lose your secure footing. Brother, you must grow what? Come on, let me hear you. You must grow. Bring it back. Rather, he said, instead of you listening to those people, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. And the church says, amen. He said, don't listen to them. You listen to the message of grace. Grow in it. Be grounded in this message of grace that God has brought us salvation free of charge. Amen. And then the third reason that we don't really preach the gospel is that people may not even be saved. Who sit in churches, like I said, they may not be saved. They may not really be saved. Because maybe what you heard, you know this thing they say, repeat after me. Many repeated what they didn't know what we're talking about. You can't have faith unless you have it. I'm telling you, faith comes by hearing what? If it's not the word of God, you can't have faith in it. And if it's not the gospel that you heard, you're not saved. There's only one message that saves. And that message is the gospel of our Lord. Any other message, that can, 10 commandments can't save you. Can't save you. Scripture Union people had to have great success in winning souls. When I wasn't a Christian, when we were at university, doing what this man here was doing. What was his name? Brian. I was Brian Senior. Scripture Union people had to have great impact. And all they were doing was bring Jesus to people. That was all. They didn't have too many things to tell you. And they were singing it, only Jesus can save. Hallelujah, only Jesus can save. Hallelujah, only Jesus can save. And then they will sing it, I will laugh. And say, all these queer people. That is, all these believe people, always believe, my friend. And then, if I tell you what I did, you must not tell somebody. If you tell somebody, it's between you, and I will call fire on you. You know these people, they will come and sit in their table, bring their food. Then they will go to bring the cutlery. We'll go and eat their meat. We'll take their meat. And then tell them we did it and dare them to talk. We'll teach them lesson here. Yeah. And they will laugh and they will eat their food without meat. Guess who ate it? Me and my friends. And we're doing that regularly. And then we'll stand in the line and they will know how they serve. Then was cafeteria system, very different system. Then you carry your soup or something above so you'll be able to come and say, if you tell people this, then you take style and use their oob. So their soup will come down. Yeah. Yeah. If you tell somebody, you take time. The thing will come. And then when it comes down, you look at it, I did it. Oh, yeah. Talk. And they will laugh and go and stand in the line again. Because the line is long now. They will stand again, collect their food, and eat peaceful people. But they brought this gospel message. And the thing produced tremendous changes. Many ministries that started were pastored by people they brought to Christ and taught the simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all they did. Those people grew and grew and grew because Jesus is the manna that makes you grow spiritually. Those people grew and God committed into their hand mighty works of the Spirit. Mighty works of the Spirit. And then they began to grow and then they started adding their own message. Everything went down. Some of them started deliverance ministry. Stadiums we fill up. Before you know it, that ministry. How many of them came and are no more? How many? So many of them. They will rise and rise. There was one that used to fill National Stadium all the time. Huh? I don't know the name. I don't want them. But the leader came here when I came, begging me to come and preach in our church. I said, you can't preach. I don't know what you believe. I can't expose the sheep of God to poison. I don't know what to believe. He ended up marrying a second wife. That's what Peter is warning. He said, don't lose your what? Footing. You can destroy your life. He said, don't do that. He said, all these people who preach all these things, their destruction is there. But don't join them. But you be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus and in the knowledge of Christ. That's what I preach here. I don't have another message. I don't. Because I've seen this thing, real people, real lives, real ministries. Any ministry that is founded on Jesus, you can't bring it down. I don't care what you are doing. The devil cannot because it's founded on the sure foundation. Any life rooted on Christ, I don't care what the storm is in this life. You can't bring that life down because it is held on by the pillar that holds this earth. His name is Jesus. You can do nothing. Try all you want to. Anybody that trusts in him, you can't put them to shame. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can't put them to shame. Things can go anywhere. Listen to me, church. Things can go anywhere. Things can go negative. Things can go wherever it is headed. But I know one thing. I am sure of one thing. At the end of that day, his castle shall stand. I know it. Man, I know who I'm talking about. Hey, I know who. You're not telling me. I know whom I preach. I know him. I'm not in doubt as to whether Jesus is real. He is. Oh, brethren, he is. Don't join them preaching this junk that takes people away from focusing on the risen Christ onto what men can do. Once you begin to talk about men, you are talking of flesh that profits you nothing. Nothing. Talk of grace, you are talking of what God is doing freely for you because of his love and is pointing you to Christ. He's the new and living way. Point you to Jesus. Point you to Jesus. And then because if you are not really born again, if you said those things that you didn't know, I said, you gave your life to Jesus. You gave your life to Jesus as your Lord. You gave your life to Jesus as your Lord, and you're talking about sin every day. You didn't, either you didn't know what you're talking about or you didn't really give him your life. Because if you gave him your life, you're done. Praise the Lord. We came and said things we didn't know, we didn't understand. Even people who told us didn't know what they're talking about. She told a story about one sister, thank you, who was in there in the women's ministry, FWI, secretary. After many years, she stepped out. She said, now I want to give my life to Jesus. And they said, but what have you been doing before? He said, my mother took me there. I wanted to please her. You go to hell except you have Jesus. I'm telling you now. Your first square pastor member will not take you to heaven.
You know, you need to accept. That's why lives are not changing. People are behaving like heathens and they say they're Christians. They don't even have the ability to understand God because the spirit that gives revelation is not there. So you're pouring water on stone. It's not there. Simple thing that won't take much. It will take years that we're still talking about the same thing. How can you be a Christian 15 years? Instead of getting better, you're getting worse. You tell me you're born again? You don't know what you're talking about. Is it not the salvation I know about? It changes a man. He becomes a new. That's why we talk about sin. Because both the preacher and the people sitting there don't know Jesus at all. He's the power that shatters the power of sin. When he comes into your life, he takes sin and shatters it to shreds. And then he presents you before God. He begins to walk in you. The power that walketh in us. The power that does abundantly above all you can think or you can ask him. When you are his hand, he's the builder. When you are his hand, brethren, when you are his hand, when he is building you, I don't care what that thing is. He will take the block he doesn't want. Take it away from your life and put the one that he wants. And he keeps building you. I said, Father, this is your son. This is your son. This, the Bible says he will present us to the Father. This is your son. Who among us is building himself? Who makes you to be different? Look at Hebrews chapter 12:15. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace. See, look after one another. Make sure none of you fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessings. In order, why? In order that no root of resentment. He says, so that all these things will not be happening in your life, because it is by the grace of God that you are what you should be. If you remove the grace, you remove Jesus. He said, make sure none of you falls on the grace of God. First to secure it, first to embrace it. The Bible says, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. He said, make sure so that all these things will not be happening in your life, so that you have bitterness and all these things. Even verse 16. Go to verse 16. That no one may become guilty of sexual vice or become a profane person. He said, if you lose the grace of God, you turn into these things, because you are going to begin to depend on your arm. You are going to begin to depend on you. And that's where he ends. He said, that's why he said, make sure that you grasp the grace of our Lord Jesus. Because it is of the Lord's mercies they were not consumed. If you miss it out, you'll be consumed. Then the last one is because people don't understand the purpose of our salvation. The purpose of our salvation. I'll quickly run through this. Look at Philippians 1:20. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, Philippians 1:20, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ. I will continue to be what? Bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. That's the purpose of living. For me, living means living. That's the purpose of living. Living for Christ. And dying is even better. Verse 22. But if I live, I can do more fruitful works for Jesus. So I really don't know which is better. You see the purpose of Paul's living? To serve Jesus and let Jesus get honored from his life. Paul was not looking for his own honor. Where he said, Paul is such a good man. He's trying to be good. So he said, I'm good. He said, no. It's Jesus that gets the honor. To give Jesus honor is to let him walk in your life and you give him the credit for what he's doing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Philippians 2:19. For if the Lord Jesus is willing,
I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. How you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. To live, the purpose of living, if you really want Jesus honored, if that life is for the honor of Christ, is to surrender it to him to use it. You can use it for him. And if you want him to use it, then you are going to be a vessel of love. Because his life is love. He wants to use us to love people. That's why Paul is saying, nobody cares about your welfare. They're all selfish people. If Christ is using you, he will use you to care about the welfare of others. I'm telling you. Flesh versus the spirit. Selfishness versus love. When you come to Christ, the selfish life dies. The selfless life begins. And when you begin to live that selfless life called the love of God, you will not stop preaching the gospel when you see somebody going to hell. Because that's your life. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we believe it, that Christ died for what? So the proof that I believe that, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. You see it? You believe that Christ died for all? He said the proof is I also believe that I've died to my old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. You see, you believe that Jesus died for me. Where is the sacrificial life that he produces? He said, those who believe that Christ died, believe that they have died to the old life of selfishness. They are now living for Christ, no more for themselves. You can give this as mental lesson, and that's the devil's trick. But when you believe that Jesus died for you, you also believe that you too have died to yourself, that a new life has come. And this new life is a selfless life. It's a life that cares for the welfare of another person. If I have that life, if I'm living that life, tell me why I should quarrel with my wife for one day. Explain it to me. Why should I quarrel? A life does not live for himself, lives for others, for the welfare of others. When Jesus said, let me show you how my life is, I lay down my life for you. For you. You. So you go and what? Do this. Selfishness dies when you come to Jesus. It dies. It dies. The new life is entirely selfless. Is the love of God. Praise the Lord. I say 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 praise the Lord. Did you see the church you attend? Church, Christian. Did you see your brothers in the Acts of Apostles? When they were selling their property and bringing it so that others will eat. Did you read it? That's the new life. They showed it. They blink an eye. So that a brother or a sister will eat. That's what Paul is writing. That when you believe in Christ, that he died for you. You believe that you too have died to your old selfish ways. That now you receive a new life that you won't live for yourself. This is not, world is cheap. I'm telling you, world is cheap. Born again, I'm born again. Read it. They sold it. One was called the child of consolation. The things of this world hold no more thing for them. They sold it and brought it. The Bible said there was none that had lack among them. None. That's what Paul is writing. That life you can live by 10 commandments. It takes the power of the Spirit to live that life. Can I hear amen? And when you live that life, you can't touch his wife. You won't touch his wife. You don't need the pastor to follow you around. You've died to yourself. It's not about your pleasure. Can't touch your brother's wife. Never. Won't even have the desire. Because you're tied to your own self-pleasure. You are so controlled by the Spirit. You live the eternal life. You can't cheat him. If he gives you money, you'll be accountable. It's not about you. It's about him. I want you to think. Bow your heads and think.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.